OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. We are live here today. It is 2:18 p.m. Well, according to this clock, it's 2:13 in everybody else's time. But anyway, it is August 19th, 2024, and we are about to head into a very busy time. We've already been through a busy time. It's always busy around here, but we are getting ready to head into a very busy time coming up here. Because we start the State Fair preaching this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then the next week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, more State Fair preaching, and then the following week after that, we will be preaching at the Defeat of Jesse James days, and we will be preaching on Friday all day and Saturday or all night, Friday night, 5 to like 10 or something. I don't know what it is, something like that. And then on Saturday, we will be preaching that week pretty much probably the whole time. We preach about 8 hours on Saturday, that Saturday. And then Sunday, we'll tract the event. So Pastor Jeffrey will be coming and all that good stuff. So we have a lot going on right now. And in a few weeks, we'll see Pastor Jeffrey here. So lots going on here right now. You continue to pray for us that God would continue to bless our ministry and bless our work, and pray for all of our needs to be met. Pray that the Lord would provide for us and our expenses here this month. We still have some expenses to get taken care of here this month, so you pray for us and our needs, that God would meet our needs here. And if you'd like to give towards that, you can do so through PayPal. That is salvationpreacher@gmail.com. And we'd appreciate that. That's salvationpreacher@gmail.com. Or you can give through Apple Pay and or Venmo, which is pastorcooley@icloud.com. Or you can mail us something. And our address is at the bottom of the screen here. It is 1030 South Highway 3, Northfield, Minnesota, 55057. And anyway, so you can give in all those different ways. And if you can't figure out how to do that and you'd like to give, then email me at pastorcooley@icloud.com or at salvationpreacher@gmail.com. And I can forward you the information you need. And we do Cash App too and a few of those other things. I don't use them that often because a lot of people don't give through Cash App and different things like that, but it is there. I do have it. And you know, Bitcoin and all that kind of stuff. I've had some people do some of that too. So if you'd like to give in any of those ways, we have quite a few expenses here coming up from now until the next month. So pray for us. Also, pray for us. We have about, 17,000 tracts to hand out that we'd like to get rid of here in the course of 3 weeks. In the next 3 weeks, we hand out, our ministry hands out more tracts than we will hand out in the entire year. We will preach to more people than we have probably preached to the entire year in this next 3 weeks. So pray, number one, for the Lord to keep our voices strong. Number two, to keep our health strong and to heal everybody of any sicknesses. Number three or four, to provide for all of our needs that we can continue to focus, especially, my needs as well, that I can continue to focus on the work that God has called me to do, because it's going to be a lot of work here in the next 3 weeks. So you pray for that, please, that God would bless that and that he would meet our needs and take care of us and all those things. So lots going on, and pray for effectiveness, pray for our safety as we travel, as we drive back and forth and preaching the gospel. And as we get down to these events, I am going to do a video sometime soon on the Metallica concert in the future. I'll probably forget about it, so Andrew or somebody else is going to have to remind me of that to go back into that footage, because there's so much good footage. But anyway, that was a war zone, and it was there were 70,000 fans that came storming out of that event at 11 o'clock at night, and there were no police anywhere. There wasn't one police officer. Some big black dude walked up behind the glass door and punched the glass door and busted it, shattered the glass door. I mean, it was pretty intense for a while. It was like a powder keg getting ready to go off. It was extremely intense, And, you know, the Lord led me to get up there and kind of, you know, kind of calm the crowd down by, it was preaching. I didn't back off of anything that, you know, I needed to preach or whatever, but just to take it back strictly to Christ and to focus on the gospel and focus on the law and focus on calling men to repentance and just very specific preaching. So it, and the Lord used it to calm those crowds down a bit, you know, because, you know, just preach the name of Jesus Christ. And, you know, that's exactly what I did. And I watched it. I mean, the Lord, when Dave was done preaching, the Lord, I actually, while he was preaching, the Lord was laying it on my heart to, you know, you get up there and preach. And, you know, I was asking God to kind of calm things down a bit because it was getting, I'm telling you, I'm not kidding you. Like I've been in scarier situations for sure. So I'm not saying that. But God made me very sensitive to the situation that was around me at the time and how it was going down. And I was like, okay, well, I think I better just get up there and preach and lift up the name of the Lord and all that. And that's exactly what I did. And, you know, the Lord blessed all the men, preached good messages. They have all summer. This has probably been one of the best summers of preaching, I think. I mean, the preaching has been good. The men have handled themselves well and all that stuff. So it's just been really a good time. So you pray for us to continue to have that unity of the Spirit and that God would continue to bless us. Because we definitely need it. Amen. So, but I appreciate your prayers for all of our needs and the spiritual ones and you know, the you know, financial ones and all those things. I'm very grateful for that. Appreciate that. And all that good stuff. So anyway, all right. Well, you know, I saw this video, or I saw this article. I saw it on Breitbart first, and it's almost like it's satire. Like, you don't think it's real. You know, it's literally, it seemed like it wasn't even real. You know, and by the way, before I get into that, let me say, I hope that you've heard these sermons right here. I haven't titled this one yet, but it's in the Ephesians series. And I started talking about the spirit of unity versus unity of the spirit. And I'm not done yet. I'm going to pick it up again on Wednesday. It's all in the Ephesians series, but it's like funny. It's like almost a sub-series, but it's not going to be. But, you know, dealing with the ecumenical movement and this spirit of unity that is false. And I'm telling you, it hits home, this ecumenical movement. It hits right where it needs to. And for the last two Sundays, one Sunday we were out at our house. Here we were out at Brother Paul's house. And we had a blessed time both weeks. And we'll get back to that. We'll be at the meeting house for the next 3 weeks, but then we're going to have our anniversary Sunday because in September we celebrate Old Paths Baptist Church's 17th anniversary. Praise the Lord for that. Hard to believe. But we will celebrate that. And that will be, you know, after all of this, probably a week. It'll be a week after. Not a week after Jesse James, but maybe 2 weeks after Jesse James. It'll be towards the end of the month of September. We'll have another outside service in celebration of our church's anniversary and rejoice in that. And anyway, so But I've been preaching on this spirit of unity versus unity of the spirit. And I hope you hear these messages. They're very powerful and helpful to understand. You know, the what's going on in our world today. Well, the problem was is that Brother Andrew used the card at my house, and he should have used my Wi-Fi at my house, and I didn't tell him that. But if he'd used my Wi-Fi, because I have two Wi-Fi signals, if he had he used the Wi-Fi signal, it would have came in better at my house. But that's the reason that happened. So anyway, but we'll have that fixed next time we're over at my house. And we'll have a better signal there, but we just didn't think about it at that point. So anyway, but so I hope you're catching these sermons and listening to them. They don't get a lot of these type of sermons don't get a lot of hits because they're where the rubber meets the road Christianity, and they challenge your spiritual walk with God. And a lot of people don't want to be challenged. They don't like that challenge. You know, that meat and potatoes type preaching on that thing. They like the current event stuff, but when you get to the challenges of living for God every day and all of that, they have a real problem with it. You know, for instance, this comment right here I think is really hilarious. Assuming that I'm some kind of a Calvinist. Look, if I was a Calvinist, I'd tell you I was a Calvinist. If you think I'd be afraid to tell you what I believe, then you obviously don't understand who I am. You obviously haven't been following me that long, and you probably, or if you have, you really don't understand who I am. Because if I believed that Calvinism was true, I'd follow it. So that's just the plain truth of the matter. So I don't even this stupid insinuation and garbage is just it's just it's that is what it is. It's just garbage. I don't like false accusations. I quote from a lot of people all over the place. I quote from David Cloud, and I don't agree with him on everything. I quote from Peter Ruckman, and I don't agree with Peter Ruckman on everything. I've quoted Spurgeon. I've quoted all kinds of Arminians, John Wesley, Martin Lloyd-Jones. I'll take you for a tour of my library here. Sometimes men are right about some things and wrong about other things. But to insinuate that I don't that I'm not that the Great Commission that is given in Matthew chapter 28 is somehow some Calvinistic teaching is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Well, one of them anyway. It's just absolutely asinine. I think I've made my position very clear on most of those things. I don't leave people confused as to what I believe. Joke. So you know what that means? You know what that tells me? If women don't have anything nice to say on social media, they probably shouldn't say anything at all. That's what it tells me. And writing book-long comments about things to me, trying to correct my theology. Yeah, that's gonna happen. I'm gonna listen to that. It's gonna happen. Just mark that down. That's gonna happen any day now. Watch. Nonsense. Anyway. Carl said, my country is far from a third world country, Fabio. I don't live in the boonies. You live in a first world country with good internet. Wait, but of course you live in a third world country, Carlos Montoya, Espinoza. Of course you do. What do you mean? Hey, Pastor, my church was in debt on their building for $171,000. Someone anonymously gave a check for $180,000. Man, praise the Lord. Good for them. Ah. Tell that person, that anonymous person, to send me one of those. Ah, that's funny. Anyway. Take your shot. I'm trying to. I'm trying to, Carlos. I'm trying to take my shot. Anyway. So. That's pretty amazing, though, Jody, that somebody donated that. That's pretty amazing. Good for them. Yep. So, anyway, but God answers prayer. I've seen it many times over that God takes care of us and meets our needs. So we thank God for that. And the Lord providing. Amen. So we'll get into what we're talking about here. I was reading some articles like I typically do. I try to keep up with especially the things that are going on in our world with male and female, you know, things that are going on with, you know, the kind of culture wars that are out there that are actually wars against God and His order. And I saw this on Breitbart first, and I couldn't believe it, really. I mean, I could, but it was like, whoa, really? So men are actually gonna... So Planned Parenthood. Offering free abortions and vasectomies at the DNC. So the vasectomies really caught my attention. Because, like, it's not enough for you to kill babies. You want to, like, kill manhood, too, at the same time. Right? So you're going to destroy any bit of manhood and continuation of the seed of a man? So these guys are going to go to the DNC, the Democrat National Convention, and they're going to get a free vasectomy. They're going to go get neutered. They're going to let somebody take their ability to raise up a seed. They're going to willingly give that over. Now, most men would never willingly neuter themselves. Most sane men wouldn't do that. Reminds me of this guy right here.
Did you know that Black Lives Matter was an organization that was founded by a bunch of fat black lesbians who hate God, who hate the family, order of the family, who hate the unborn child? And they admitted, at least one of them, that they're a Marxist group and they've been trained to do what they're doing. Did you know it was founded by some fat black lesbians?
Wow, so, okay, so first of all...
Did you know that?
What we're not going to do is insult folks, right? So...
Well, they claim to be lesbians, and they're fat, and they're black. Well, I didn't do it.
Well, no, I didn't do it.
But did you know that it was founded by them?
I personally know them, right? So we're going to stop that part.
And you knew that before they joined. What made you join knowing that? Because normally men don't follow women like that. What made you do it?
Did
you
know that, hear that
Black
again.
Lives Matter was an organization that was founded by a bunch of fat black lesbians who hate God, who hate the family, order of the family, who hate the unborn child? And they admitted, at least one of them, that they're a Marxist group and they've been trained to do what they're doing. Did you know it was founded by some fat black lesbians?
Wow, so, okay, so first of all...
Did you know that?
What we're not going to do is insult folks, right?
Well, they claim to be lesbians, and they're fat, and they're black. Well, I didn't do it.
Well, so.
But did you know that it was founded by them?
I personally know them, right? So we're going to stop that part.
And you knew that before they joined. What made you join knowing that? Because normally men don't follow women like that.
That's right. Normally men don't follow women like that. Normally men wouldn't let somebody like chemically castrate them. Right? Normally men wouldn't do that. A normal man wouldn't, but an effeminate man would.
Rumar, are you the head of your wife?
I like to think that we're equal.
Are you the head?
I am. I'm an alpha.
Not if you think you and your wife are equal. Beta!
Oh. Because I'll tell you why.
Man! Rumar, are you the head of your wife?
I like to think that we're equal.
Are you the head?
I am. I'm an alpha.
Not if you think you and your wife are equal. Beta!
Oh, because I'll tell you why.
Man! Rumar.
That's right. Normally men don't follow women like that. Right? Normally they don't. Normally, what's wrong with Rumar? Normally, men don't follow women like that. So what kind of man, what kind of absolute effeminate, fruity, soft, Candy Boy Fruit Loop men would show up at the DNC where they're chemically castrating people, men, where they're chemically castrating men. What kind of a man would show up there and be like, ah, cool? Like, I think it's a good idea. Like, here's what you would say to that. Like, what kind of a man would show up? What kind of a man would even vote? Let's just say you throw everything to the side. What kind of a man would show up to a convention like that, right? And even vote for those people. I mean, think about that for a second. Think about the fact that there's actually... Let's go back to that article here. That there's actually going to be men. Well, that are going to show up to this event. Planned Parenthood is offering more than a free t-shirt or a sticker at the Democratic National Convention this week. The organization will offer free vasectomies, medical abortion, and emergency contraception. Planned Parenthood Great Rivers of St. Louis announced in an X post that a bus is headed to the DNC in Chicago to offer free services. No, for real. Like, this is not a joke. Hang on a second. I gotta turn some air on in here. Hang on. So, for real, men... Men are going to show up to this event. And they're going to bring a mobile health clinic there to give these men vasectomies. I mean, I've already talked about abortion a million times. So that goes without saying. You already know my position on that very clearly. But, and like brag about it. Here we go, Chicago. Our mobile health clinic will be in the West Loop with Chai Abortion Fund and, no, I'm not kidding you, it's called the Wiener Circle, of providing free vasectomies and medication abortion. Like, this is a platform of death. It's a platform of absolute death. You can't continue to kill your own. You cannot continue to not have babies and expect your society to continue on. See, here's the thing. You have so many people that are fighting so many battles out there, and they're showing up to, are you voting for anyone, Pastor? No, absolutely not. They're a bunch of scum-sucking, nasty, filthy, perverted, disgusting, devil-possessed psychopaths. I'm not playing their sick game. I jumped off that game years ago, and I ain't getting back on that train. They are a bunch of psychopath, devil-possessed creeps. Every single one of them. No way. Nothing to vote for. I wouldn't waste my time. It's a big, fat waste of time. So why waste it? Let me tell you something. Here's the thing. So, if you had more Christian couples obeying the Bible and not following Margaret Sanger's theology and Margaret Sanger's eugenics and actually obeyed the commands of Scripture and God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Did you know, like, I have 8 children. Did you know that that was the average in Benjamin Franklin's day? 8 children were the average. If Christians, not the lost world, I'm talking about the church, the churches, the Christian people, if they obeyed these commands and stopped using birth control and stopped using contraceptives and stopped going to sending their wives and their daughters to work, if they started obeying this command, that would change the country more than any political work they could ever do. Look. Let's see. Psalm 127. Look what the Bible says. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. The fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. So, you look at that. What does it say? How are God's people gonna, speak with the enemies in the gates? The gates of the city? The gates where the business of the city is handled? Where the leadership of the city is? Where the running of the city is? By having children. and raising children for the Lord. That's how. By raising children for the Lord. But how many Christians don't obey this? I'm talking to Christians now. How many Christians use contraceptives, and how many Christians withhold themselves that they have no children, or they have very, very few children that are able to have children? How many Christians have not followed this? And we see in churches dwindling numbers. Churches have no children. There's 80-year-old people keeping the church going. They have no youth in their churches. That's right, Andrea, it is. It's very sad. It is the real Holocaust. It's going on right now. There are Christians that willingly do this. Willingly. I'm telling you, they're all over the place. They're in churches all over the place. They'll have their token two when they could have many more. They're like George Bush and the others. They have their token two. They don't want to keep having children. Right? Or you have these young people that don't want to get married and be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. They don't want to. They don't want to grow up. You have these young men that are being raised in these churches, or young women that are going off and going to Bible college and going to get a career and going to do all these other things. And what are they not doing? And what, by the way, many times, it's like I just saw. I'll show you. Hang on. Not a joke. True story right here. Secret Service agent on Trump's detail left post to breastfeed baby. Not a joke. Not a joke. Dead serious. That woman should not be a Secret Service agent. That woman should be home with her baby. Why in the world First of all, could anybody see that that lady needs to protect her own baby? Not the president of the United States. Talk about your priorities being messed up. You take a break from your job to breastfeed your baby? Your job is to breastfeed your baby. Your job is to nurture and raise your child. To one, care for your husband. To one, love your husband. To two, love your children. That's your duty. That's your work. This is how far we've come into insanity. How our priorities are so bad. So messed up, so wrong, so twisted. And it's the churches I mean to speak of. It's the churches. They are the ones that have messed this up. Pastors. And they don't know any better because they're deceived. But you know what? The churches. Right? You think about that. Here's one of the most effeminate Fruit Loops. Doug Emhoff, husband of Vice President Kamala Harris, speaks at a Planned Parenthood event. What a fruit. That guy's probably a sod. What an absolute sod. What an absolute effeminate Fruit Loop. I mean, seriously. Your wife is running your wife, which I don't even believe. That guy's a fruit. He probably's never slept with a woman in his life, but. They have their token marriages. Kamala Harris, never been a mother, yet she's going to tell you what it's like to be a woman and never cared for a child. I don't mean even her own, not adopted or anything. He's had kids with a previous woman. And this effeminate dude, I think I'll go speak at Planned Parenthood. Yeah, I'll speak there, right outside of there, and preach the gospel to those stinking heathens. You know what these men are doing? Watch. I'll show you what they're doing. Let's see. Let me get that. Again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel that giveth any of his seed unto Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. What is he doing? What are they doing, these people with these vasectomies, getting these vasectomies? They're giving up their seed to Moloch. That's what they're doing. Right? That's what they're doing. Quinnipiac University poll released in April revealed information about Americans' views on abortion that could surprise voters. According to the poll, a record number of 80 Americans, 66%, now support legal abortion in some or all cases, the highest level of support ever recorded. What, you think it surprises me that you bunch of heathens in a heathen nation like America, an absolutely heathen nation like America, that 66% of them are for murdering their babies? Sure. Of course they are. What do you think happens when you fill the television lines, the internet, when you fill your smartphones and YouTube and all these other things with pornography? What do you think happens when women sleep around and give their bodies away for free to men? What do you think that does? Well, men know that they don't have to marry a woman to observe the marriage bed, so they just fornicate like a bunch of dogs, and everything is sexually charged. So men have no sense of decency, of duty, of responsibility. Why? Because even their women did leave the natural use. Says here, and the men were scorched with great heat and blaspheming the name of God, which had power over the over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Hang on a second. Here, look at these end time sins. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, their abortions, their murder. Nor of their sorceries, their drug use. Nor of their fornication. Man, they wouldn't repent of their pornography. They wouldn't repent of their fornication. They wouldn't repent of their illicit adulteries. They wouldn't repent of their murders. They won't repent of their murders, nor their drug use. They won't repent of it. That's what the Bible says. Those are the end time sins that they will not repent of. They're murdering of babies, their sorceries, their fornication, nor of their thefts, bunch of thieves. They would not repent of those things. They would not turn from them. A plurality of 34% said abortion should be legal in all cases, while 32% said it should be legal in most cases. Yeah, Trump, he softened his stance on this hot button issue. Instead, the new platform says what? They dropped the platform for the first time in 40 years, the document makes no mention of a federal abortion ban, which the presumptive GOP presidential nominee has emphasized that he opposes. Instead, the new platform stresses he will oppose late-term abortion while supporting mothers and policies that advance prenatal care, access to birth control, and IVF fertility treatments. Right. Well, he's got to compete with them, right? That's exactly what he's doing. So they talk these men into going in willingly. And chemically castrating themselves. Or figuratively, anyway. So they don't have children anymore, but they can still fornicate. Do you understand that's the goal? The goal is for them to be able to fornicate with no consequences. That's the goal, friend. And that's consistent with end times, as we see in Revelation 9:21. It's consistent with the end times. But what they won't keep is the plagues from destroying them. They will not keep the plague of venereal diseases. From destroying them. The wages of sin is death. But you notice here, they repented not of their fornication, their murders, their sorceries, their fornication, their thefts. They wouldn't repent. So these people use situation ethics. See, God takes it very serious that in a marriage you wouldn't have a desire to raise up seed to your wife. Right? Onan did this for the purpose of not raising up seed. He did the same thing that they're doing right here. And Judah said unto Onan, go into thy brother's wife and marry her and raise up seed of thy brother. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his. And it came to pass when he went in unto his brother's wife that he spilled it on the ground, lest that he should give seed to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord, wherefore he slew him also. God killed him. God killed him for it. So when God says, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, he means it. You know why so many Christians, you know why they don't have enough people? Christians are being outnumbered. It's pretty simple. and quit having babies. They want to sleep around and they want to fornicate and they don't want any consequences for it. Well, of course men are going to say no. Of course men are going to agree with that. But you know what the sad thing is? Young men going forward to doing this and then they grow up. Maybe some of them even get saved. But at least they grow up. And they get married and actually want to have children. And they can't. And they can't because they got fixed like a dog. They got fixed like a dog so they can't have babies. They got neutered. You know, it's interesting. I'll give you some facts about that in a minute. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Let's see. Well, yep, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play a song here real quick. And then I'm going to give you some facts about that vasectomies. I'm going to give you some facts about what's going on in our country right now with all this in our world right now. Because it's pretty amazing, actually, to be honest with you. Let's see here.
Shadows are falling, time marches on. Prophets are echoing, soon Christ will come. Looking into the heart of man, seeking his own. Calling all of the faithful children. Is coming. Listen for the trumpet. Look to the sky. No more sorrow, no more night. Only God's eternal light. Jesus is coming again. Majesty from heaven's throne, shout for your saints to rise, Lord, take us home. Call us out of this world of sin, come, Lord, today. Quickly, Jesus, come quickly, take us away. Listen for the trumpet, Jesus is coming. Listen for the trumpet, look to the sky. No more sorrow, no more night.
God's eternal light. Jesus is coming again. No more sorrow, no more night. Only God's eternal light. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again.
Jesus is
coming. Whoa, that went off. Here's Joe's favorite dog.
Let me tell you a tale that's as big as a whale, but the story is true to the end.
To the end!
Of a dog that's a dream, he's the best ever seen. Oh, a man never had such a friend.
Such a friend!
He's as strong as an ox, he's smart as a fox. He knows every hill in Killarney. He's a sight to behold, worth his weight in pure gold. Oh, there's no better dog than Barney. There was little Bo Peep, who had lost all her sheep, till old Barney showed up with his bark. Barney went straight to work, put his nose to the dirt. He can track down a flea in the dark.
In the dark!
Barney stayed on the run and found everyone. He searched every hill in Killarney. He's the cream of the crop, he's the tip of the top. Oh, there's no better dog than Barney. He's the cream of the crop, he's the tip of the top.
That ye are, me faithful friend.
Oh, there's no better dog than Barney.
All right, here we go. All right, here we go. Yeah, Carl, you even admitted it. You said you're the cheapest guy in the world. You already told us all that. This is old news. It's not fake news. It's old news. Old news. You've already said it. You said it in front of all of us. You brag about how cheap you are, remember? He already said cheap, cheap. That's right. He just needs a dog like Blarney and maybe he won't be so cheap, right? Right, Joe? He needs a dog like Blarney and he won't be cheap anymore. Anyway, I do like giving him a hard time about that. All right. Here we go. We are going to give you some facts here that I think are a little shocking. Carl, you bragged about getting the cheapest food at the airport that you could possibly find. Okay. But let's talk about this a little bit here, okay? How common are vasectomies? And this you can find at, like, probably the CDC and other places. Just you can look it up and check me out on that to see if I'm right. Okay. How common are vasectomies? About 50 million men have had a vasectomy. Approximately 5% of all married men of reproductive age. 5% of all married men. Married men. 5%. Think about that. 5%. More than 500,000 men elect to have vasectomies every year in the U.S. More than 500,000 men in America. More than 500,000 men like creepy, weird dudes like this. This guy is the most effeminate dude. Right? He is the governor of Minnesota, the most effeminate dude ever. Stinking fake devil. ...11.4% of men aged 30 to 45 years reported having a vasectomy, representing approximately 3.6 million American men. 3.6 million American men. But you want to hear something even crazier than that? Listen. While 14.1% of white men had a vasectomy, only 3.7% of black and 4.5% of Hispanic men reported a vasectomy. So literally, three times the amount of white men have a vasectomy. Three times the amount of white men in America have a vasectomy. They get fixed like a dog. Three times the amount. On a multivariate analysis, a significant difference in the odds of vasectomies by race, ethnicity remained with black 0.20 or 0.009 or 0.045, Hispanic 0.41 or 0.18, having significantly lower rate of vasectomy independent of demographic partner and socioeconomic factors, having ever been married, fathering two or more children, older age, and higher income were all associated with vasectomy. What does that mean? Oh, they wanted to make money. It was all about money. It was all about upward mobility. Right? That's what it was about. It was all about making money. They put money first, right? It was about money first. It was about career first. It was about upward mobility first. You know, the Bible talks about that. But how many Christians are guilty of this, that they're doing this very thing? But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Think about that. After accounting for reproductive history, partner, and demographic characteristic, black and Hispanic men were less likely to rely on a vasectomy, for contraception. Further research is needed to identify the reason these races' ethnic differences and to identify factors that impede minority men's reliance on this means of fertility control. I'll tell you why primarily a lot of it is. A bunch of white men want to run around and fornicate and act like 12-year-olds and not have any responsibility. That's what it is. They want to run around with no responsibility. They want to run around and fornicate and have no responsibility for what they do. They don't want to grow up. They don't want to be men. They don't want to raise children. They don't want to lead a wife, and they don't want to raise children. They're a bunch of cowards. They're a bunch of little children, little babies. They're boys that have never grown up. They've never grown up to realize that, you know what? Life is about work. Life is not about your having fun. If I'm a Christian, it's about the work of the Lord. But life is about work. And life takes work. And relationships take work. And you're not supposed to spend your days in absolute entertainment and amusement. But what captivate men's souls? I don't know, the Olympics. I don't know, sports entertainment. Right? Sports entertainment. The Colosseum. Running around entertained and never wanting to grow up. They want their toys. They want their fun. They want their alcohol. They want their drugs. They want their sex. They want their perversion. They want their pornography. They want their violence. They don't want to grow up. It's like I said to those Metallica fans. They're like a bunch of kids. That never grew up. Right? You know, you have all these fans like storming out of the Colosseum, so to speak, of the entertainment Mecca. And they're storming out of there, right? They've never grown up. They're just little kids. They're still, you got these 70, 60-year-old stoners or 50-year-old stoners, 55 years old, old men running around. With Metallica shirts on and heavy metal entertainment, and that's what they're doing. Right? That's what they're doing. Running around, acting like little kids. They don't want to grow up. You have women the same way. They don't want to grow up. They don't want to grow up. They don't want to love a husband. And love their children. They think everything's supposed to be easy, and if it's hard, it means they shouldn't do it. I find this with young women often. when they have a baby, they're shocked that taking care of a baby is actual work. I mean, they're shocked that it's a challenge to learn to nurse a baby. That it's not painless to nurse a baby, that sometimes it's painful. Right? Sometimes it's painful. You know, sometimes it's a challenge. Sleepless nights and nursing and feeding and soreness and all those other things. And they think that if they have to do those things that, oh, it must be wrong. Must be not right because it's not pleasing to my flesh. No, it's called work. Look at this. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And you got a bunch of men that are whining about their work. And unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and it's eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. It's work. And there's going to be some sorrow that's attached to it. To being a wife, there's sorrow attached to it. To being a husband, there's going to be sorrow attached to it. That's reality, friend. To go into work every day and have to pay the bills and doing all those things and growing up and raising children and all sorrows attached to that because of the fall of man. It's not all sorrow. It's mixed with sorrow and joy. But there's sorrow attached to it. To think that you will get through life without that, and that any sorrow or anything else like that is bad for you, or it's going to be bad, or I shouldn't be going through this, it's nonsense. It's a denial of what God said would happen to us. Right? God says that our work, that sorrow and pain and suffering will be connected to that, our life's work. But you literally have a generation of people that believe that they can be exempted somehow from work, from the sorrow that's attached to that, and the work and the toil and the labor. So we have a bunch of, why? Because they weren't taught as children that. I teach my children right now, you know what? You don't get to complain about your work. You don't get to complain about that, about having to do something or having to work. Whining and complaining about work is a character issue. It's if you whine and complain about your work, that's a good way to get yourself in trouble. Because you cannot raise children with no character that believe they can whine themselves out of their work. Whatever it is, because as they get older, whatever it is. It's like no one has taught them that life is difficult, that it comes with challenges. What do they want? They want all the feelings and the fornication and they want all of that, the fornication. They want all of those things, the sorcery. They want drugs to dope themselves up. They want their alcohol. They want their entertainment, and they want to be entertained 24/7. That's why Juvenal said, and I quoted that in the Colosseum, give them their bread and their circuses and they won't revolt against us. So today, what do you have? You've got a society of people that gets their sex, gets their drugs, gets their rock and roll, gets their entertainment, gets their amusement. They could get vasectomies. They don't have to be men and grow up and raise children. They don't have to be women that grow up to have babies, but they can have all their fun and all their fornication and all their wickedness and their sin. And they're just absolutely effeminate men that follow like this. This is about the dumbest thing I've ever seen. This is, they faked this, right? They faked this to get it. A Doritos, like that she's a down-to-earth person. Even the way she says Doritos is just stupid.
Doritos. Huh? Ah, Dougie, there they are. Yeah, thank you.
I know you wanted these. I know you wanted these. It's just so lame. It's so absolutely lame because it was like set up. And then there's a clip of Walls getting her Doritos for her. It's just nonsense. It's just stupidity. Like, I care what kind of chips you eat. I don't even care what you're doing. Right? This is men following women like this.
I think it is important to look at folks like Haley and Kelly and also say we're going to take note of the fact that during the pandemic, over 2 million people, 2 million women people.
What's a woman people?
Became
unemployed. What in the world
I
is
think
a,
it is important.
Right? What in the world is a woman people? This is idiocracy at its highest level.
You unveiled your economic policies last week.
Yeah.
Can you explain how you're going to pay for those? And can you give us a sense of what other policies you want to unveil going forward?
Sure. Well, I mean, you just look at it in terms of what we are talking about, for example, around children and the child tax credit and extending the EITC. It's at $6,000 for the first year of a child's life. The return on that investment in terms of what that will do and what it will pay for will be tremendous. We've seen it when we did it in the first year of our administration. We reduced child poverty by over 50%. So that's a lot of the work. And then what we're doing in terms of the tax credits, we know that there's a great return on that investment. And when we increase home ownership in America, what that means in terms of increasing the tax base, not to mention property tax base, what that does to fund schools, again, return on investment. I think it's a mistake for any person who talks about public policy to not critically evaluate how you measure the return on investment. When you are,
I mean, look at these guys. It's idiotic. She's not saying anything. It's stupid.
Strengthening neighborhoods, strengthening communities, and in particular the economy of those communities, and investing in a broad-based economy, everybody benefits, and it pays for itself.
And they're like running around following this woman. These men are running around following this woman wherever she goes, hanging on her every word. a bunch of effeminate men. It's just sickening. It's sick. Our country is absolutely being destroyed by stupidity, by sin. Must be this one. Maybe this is what I'm looking for right here. This is another one about the stupidest thing in the world.
Extraordinary President.
Listen to this.
Our extraordinary President Joe Biden. And he's going to speak in a minute, but there's a lot of love in this room for our president. Our extraordinary president.
That lady is absolutely soused. She is absolutely drunk. Or high. One of the two. Right? One of the two. I don't know which it is. But absolutely gone. This is where our nation is right now. You have children being the oppressors and women ruling over them. And men that are willing to stand in line. Right? They're willing literally to stand in line and get a vasectomy. Right? Taking away their ability to procreate. It goes right along with this leftist agenda of, it's a satanic agenda, right, left, they're all Satanists. But if you look at this article right here. Leftist UK government to treat extreme misogyny like terrorism. So in other words, if you act like a man, you're a terrorist. The new Labour Party government in Britain is reportedly planning on treating extreme misogyny in the same manner as terrorism amid a supposed rise of radicalization of young men. Well, what's going on? I don't know. You think maybe young men are getting ticked? You think maybe there's this groundswell of young men that are angry? Yeah, maybe, just maybe. That they're doing it on purpose. Teachers, healthcare professionals, and local officials in Britain may become legally obligated to report young men to the government's Prevent Counter-Terror program in the same manner as Islamic terrorism or far-right radicalism if they are suspected of extreme misogyny. Under the program, those referred to Prevent are assessed by police and their local authority to determine if they are indeed in need of de-radicalization training. Oh, you got to de-radicalize me, huh? Under the program, those referred to Prevent are assessed by police and their local authority to determine if they are in need of de-radicalization training. Home Security Yvette Cooper, Home Secretary Yvette Cooper has launched a review of the government's counter-extremism stance that is expected to be completed by the autumn. Cooper told the paper, for too long, governments have failed to address the rise in extremism, both in on our streets, and we've seen the number of young people radicalized online grow. Hateful incitement of all kinds of fractures and frays, the very fabric of our communities and our democracy. Action against extremism has been boldly hollowed out in recent days. In recent years, just when it should have been needed most. That's why I've directed the Home Office to conduct a rapid analytical sprint on extremism to map and monitor extremist trends, to understand the evidence about what works to disrupt and divert people from away from extremist views. You mean like the Bible? And to identify any gaps in existing policy which need to be addressed to crack down on those pushing harmful and hateful beliefs and violence. That work will underpin a new strategic approach to countering extremism from government, working closely with communities to build consensus and impetus for our plans. It comes as police in Britain have claimed that the rise of anti-feminist influencers like Andrew Tate represents a national emergency over the potential radicalization of boys and young men. Tate is currently awaiting a trial in Romania over allegations of human trafficking and rape charges, which he denies. Deputy Chief Constable Maggie Blythe said last month, "We know that some of this is also linked to radicalization of young people online. We know the influencers, Andrew Tate, the element of influencing of particular boys is quite terrifying, and that's something that both the leads for counterterrorism in the country and ourselves, violence against women and girls perspective, are discussing." Responding to reported crackdown on extreme misogyny, Tate wrote on X that Home Secretary Yvette Cooper pretends to care about the safety of women while allowing hundreds of thousands of undocumented migrants to arrive by boat. What is extreme misogyny? Being masculine? They want to kill the spirit of any man who will resist the enslavement, Tate added. Others were also critical of the reported plans, including comedian GB News presenter Leo Kurse, who quipped, "Misogyny is going to be outlawed by people who can't say what a woman is." The previous Tory government frequently came under criticism for placing too much emphasis on non-Islamic extremism, particularly on the right, far right, despite Islamic terrorism representing a much larger threat to society. In 2019, the M15 Security Service admitted that the threat from far-right extremists was absolutely dwarfed by that posed by radical Islamists. So what are they doing? Essentially, what they're doing is filling the UK with Muslims. And basically enraging young Englishmen over there and silencing them while their women are being raped and their nation is being destroyed. Nevertheless, out of all the referrals from teachers and other local authorities to prevent 2022 to 23, just 11% were suspected of Islamic extremism compared to 19% of the far right and 37% of vulnerability present, but not ideology, counterterrorism risk. According to The Guardian, British boys are already being reported to the counter-extremism program by their schools for repeating Tate's views on verbal harassment of female teachers. In other words, if you're a man, and you show you're a man, well, you're a misogynist. Right? You're a misogynist. If you're a man, that believes in man being the leader of the wife, if you believe the Bible, then you're an extremist. Not if you chop the genitals off of a boy and turn him into a girl, or destroy the reproductive system of a girl and try to turn her into a boy. You're not an extremist and you're not dangerous. Only those who preach the gender roles . If you believe this, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. And they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. See, you're an extreme misogynist if you believe that. You're an extreme misogynist if you believe women. There's no such thing as a female pastor. Right? That you may teach the young women, the aged women likewise, they be in behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. If you believe that men and women are not identical, that they are not equal in authority, but equal in value and worth, but not in authority. Right? Well, you're dangerous. What do they want? A bunch of beta males that are getting vasectomies. A bunch of sex perverts. Why? You know why? Because when somebody becomes a sex pervert, they come completely effeminate. The men do. And they cannot lead and be strong men. It's just like a man that doesn't observe the marriage bed with his wife. He becomes very weak. That his wife withholds the marriage bed from they become very weak. The man loses confidence, is not strong. Well, they want to do away with that. It's the way it goes, friend. And that's the way they want it to be. And they want to use their little agent provocateurs to push it, so they can make the position of manhood look bad by agent provocateurs. That's what they want to do. That's how they operate. That's the kind of, and we have to resist that tyranny. We have to resist their wickedness. And we have to stand firm in the faith, be men, lead, love our families, stay free from sin and wickedness. Not be defiled by this world, so we have power to stand up against this tyranny and lead our families and raise a godly seed. Because they want to stamp out the godly and the holy seed. They want to stamp it out of the earth. That's the goal of Satan. And they'll use sex, drugs, rock and roll, entertainment, fornication to do just that. Money, everything this Antichrist world has to offer. It's exactly what he wants to use. In order to push that. And it's working. Because most of the Christians aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. Unfortunately. That's why there's a call to repent.
Plant my feet on higher ground. Lift me up above the clouds, Lord, where thy pure sunshine is found. Lift me up above my weakness, lift me up into thy strength, lift me up above the shadows, stand with thee at length.
Lift me up above the shadows. Lift me up and let me stand on the
above the shadows.
is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. His oath is covenant, his blood. Support me in the whelming fire. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
All right, everybody, God bless you. And I'm not sure if I'll do a broadcast on Wednesday. I know Friday I won't. I'll be traveling to the state fair, so that won't happen on Friday. But I'm not sure yet about Wednesday. I'll let you all know. Depends on how much work I have to do and get done here towards the end of the week here. So we'll see. All right, I'm not sure yet. You know, all that, how all that goes. But anyway, you pray for us and we appreciate it. I might do one on Wednesday. I don't know. I don't do good at sitting around. If I don't have anything that I have to get done and I'm already studied up on what I need to, I just don't do very good sitting around. So anyway, so you pray for us, pray for our ministry. I appreciate it. Pray for our preaching, pray for the tracting and all that. And also pray for safety for all of us. Also pray for our needs. We've got some needs that need to be met here. And if you just pray for us, and also if you'd like to give towards our ministry, you may do so through PayPal, salvationpreacher@gmail.com, or Venmo or Apple Pay at PastorCooley@iCloud.com, or Venmo or Cash App or any of those other things. Okay. So anyway, you can mail us something too. 1030 South Highway 3, Northfield, Minnesota, 55057. All right, everybody. God bless you. Take care.